That sounds great.
Hi, welcome to the LA podcast. Scott is here.
Hayes is here.
Hayes is here. We want to start with, jumping right in, new superintendent for LAUSD.
Right. LA Unified School District, as new, we talked
new
soup about.
For you.
Right. Wow, that was good.
If we had the New York Post, we could have headlines like that every day.
Wow,
new soup for you.
Stopped me dead in my tracks. I'm going to be thinking about that for the rest of
the new record. Soup is probably going to be picked next week, right?
Yes.
They're moving very fast toward a vote.
There's been a little bit of, I don't know, there's kind of a hesitation right now, but there was almost an expectation that Austin Buettner, former deputy mayor of the city under Villaraigosa, was going to be selected last week. But then apparently at that time, he didn't have all four votes that he would need. So
yeah,
possibly happening this upcoming week.
Yeah. This has been a very long time coming. The last superintendent was a lifer in the district named Michelle King. She had the job for a year and a half,
right?
Something like that. And part of that was a 4-month sabbatical,
right?
That at the time was very mysterious, still is a little bit mysterious.
Yeah. So I don't know. At the time, there were rumors that, you know, she had gone on vacation and didn't come back and what was going on. But then
And that she had gone on vacation in Costa Rica and gotten in a zip lining accident.
Right. And then so she did take a 4-month medical leave and then came back. And actually, after, I think, some prompting from the LA Times about where is the LAUSD superintendent.
Yes.
Said that she had been undergoing treatment for cancer. And so she was, at that point in time, announcing her retirement.
Right. But she has been, there's an acting superintendent, Vivian Ekjian, who was considered, is still being considered technically, for the full-time official superintendent position.
One of three candidates at this point. So we have Austin Buettner, Vivian Ekjian, and the former head of Baltimore Schools, Andres Alonso, who's currently at Harvard grad school, and he's being considered. I think everybody else who was under consideration has dropped out at this point. Yeah,
it feels like the LAUSD board is kind of like, they had Michelle King, who was like a school person. John Dacey was a school person from Boston before that. I think they're like, enough of all these like school nerds running our district. We need a businessman.
Yeah. I mean, this is a very political
school
job.
School is not cool. Business is cool. Austin Buettner is a rich businessman.
You would never really expect it, but at this point, it is almost like seen as a negative if you have a long-term affiliation with LAUSD.
Yeah, it's like, well, why have you been doing more like flashy stuff all this?
Which is funny because you read these articles about, okay, we're looking for a new superintendent, and there's a contingent, a large contingent within LA Unified that is like Vivian Ekjian. She's right
there.
She
has been doing a great job by all accounts.
She's doing the job already.
Everyone loves her. And she was doing it, by the way, while Michelle King was on sabbatical. She took basically her entire workload. So she has been superintendent for pretty much a year. And the results have been totally fine.
And that's it's always funny because
for LAUSD, which means very bad.
It's a political job. So you always expect incumbency to mean something. You know, you have this benefit of having already been doing the job.
Yeah, like
how do you know Vivian Ekjian can do this job? Because she's been doing it.
Yeah.
But that is actually kind of like, so it's funny because there's this contingent that's going around to board members trying to say vote for Vivian, and no one has met with them because they're looking outside of LAUSD. Michelle King had the same problem, which she eventually overcame when she became superintendent, but it doesn't seem like Vivian Ekjian has support of a majority of board members or even close to it right now.
And Austin Buettner has been in city politics for a while. Like you said, he was deputy mayor. He was like he got rich first. He was an investment banker.
Right.
Deputy mayor. He ran the LA 2020 commission. He was publisher of the LA Times for a year, but everyone was.
There is an interesting connection there, which is that while Austin Buettner was running the LA Times, while he was their publisher, the reason that he actually was fired is because he kept saying LA Times needs local leadership. Ugh. And Eli Broad, who owns the Broad Museum downtown, where you mm-hmm. can go and take like infinite selfies in the mirror room or whatever. He was trying to take over the LA Times and keep Austin Buettner as publisher. So that was why he was let go, because
he was seen as a subversive element. Right. On the inside.
As like, and the Chicago Tribune pre-Tronc days was calling it like basically like a hostile takeover. But the connection there is that Eli Broad is also one of the major charter backers
yes.
in the city.
So he has the support of, he's one of these guys where I think city politics is so thankful to have like a businessman who like wants to deal with them. Right. And like, oh, wow, us? Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, he has a connection to Eli Broad. He's really deep in with the charter community. He has been trying to downplay that during this campaign, that he's going to be more even-handed about it. But he's got the four charter wing members of the school board, and it looks like he has the vote of a union wing member, Richard Vladovich, because they're just like buddies.
They're just friends from way back, so yeah. I guess that helps.
And I think the charter guys are definitely hoping that at least one of the union people will swing and support Austin Buettner, so the vote doesn't hinge on the support of charter wing member Ref Rodriguez, who, as we have discussed, is possibly a soon-to-be felon.
Right. And there's kind of a speculation that, well, why has this process been sort of sped up to the point where they're pushing this vote at right now? And it is kind of like, well, Ref Rodriguez may or may not be able to continue in his capacity as a board director for much longer, at which point that could change potentially the balance. So having the support of non-charter supporting members would probably make them feel more stable going forward.
I should say everything we know about this basically is from the reporting of Howard Bloom, who's the LA Times reporter who really just kind of owns the school beat. I believe he was also the person who broke the story about Ref Rodriguez getting arrested at Yard House. He just is the most dialed into this world of anyone in the city, basically. We want to talk about bikes. The world's greatest invention. I think there's an argument that bikes are like the perfect
form of transportation.
There's nothing else that like optimizes a human being that doesn't use like energy.
Right.
What is like better than a bike?
I don't know. I mean, maybe if it just stayed in place and by biking you were like creating something like food or what, I don't know. Otherwise,
see, but that what you're describing is a fictional invention.
Oh, you're right.
It doesn't exist.
Damn. Okay, yeah, so bikes are great.
But LA is not a great city for bikes, and especially this week, which has been horrible.
Extremely brutal. We've had multiple hit and run fatalities within the past week and a half.
Yeah. Let's start with April 10th, Frederick Wound Frazier, 22 years old. He was killed on his bike by a white Porsche SUV in South LA at Manchester and Normandy. The next day at his vigil, Cottrell Stallings, his friend, who's 25, he was hit very hard by a car at the memorial when they were like at the intersection where Wound Frazier was killed. He was flipped in the air by the car. It just drove off. He survived.
Several bones. But
he broke several bones, yes. April 13th, 2 days later, Alfredo Ortiz, 52, he was walking in Vermont Vista in South LA. He was killed by a car that drove off. April 15th, 2 days after that, Gregory Moore, 57, was crossing Century in Maine in South LA in his wheelchair. He was hit by a drunk driver and killed. The car drove off. The next day, April 16th, Christopher White, 60 years old, he was killed on his bike by three cars that hit him in Green Meadows in South LA. Two of those cars drove away. And April 18th, a still unidentified homeless man in a sleeping bag in Venice, he was sleeping on the sidewalk. He was run over by a black SUV that went up on the sidewalk, killed him, and also drove away. So that is a total of, these are all essentially hit and runs. Six hit and runs in a
2 weeks,
9 day period, and five deaths. And I don't believe any of these people have been caught, which is consistent with the 20% solve rate for hit and runs by the LAPD.
Yeah, so this has been a really high visibility week and a half for these kind of hit and run collisions or whatever. The issue that we're having is that there are very few ways for individuals to make a difference in the incidence rate of this kind of thing. There's kind of a need for a political solution. So what we saw this week was Garcetti went and he did his State of the City address.
Yes, all this coincided with Garcetti's State of the City, which was on Monday.
That's right.
Where he just kind of lays out what good things he has done.
Yeah, the State of the City
and all the good things he's going to do.
It's kind of like analogous to if the mayor's office were to do a press release that said, "Attention, City Council and all LA media, nothing to see here."
Yes.
Like there's nothing going on.
It's just him reading that press release out loud, basically.
Yes, exactly.
Everything is fine.
But there was a little bit of consternation because there's been so many of these fatalities in the past week and before that.
Yeah.
But this one, I think there was more of the visibility because of just really how terrible, in particular, the Frederick Frazier case was. Mm-hmm. And the fact that at a commemoration of his life at this intersection, at a meeting really meant to draw attention to this, the same thing happened again.
Yeah.
with no intervention by the police that were present. That yeah. got people really like, what has to happen for the political class to pay attention to this?
Yeah. And the mayor, while all this was going on, you know, supposedly the city has this Vision Zero program where that they've put some money into to end all traffic fatalities by 2025, I think is the goal.
Yeah.
They have not given it as much money as the Department of Transportation has requested for it. I think they asked for $80 million and they gave it $27 million for this year. But Garcetti did not mention it in the State of the City at all. It did not come up.
This has been a longstanding fight. I think when in 2015, Garcetti actually said, "This is an executive order. We are ending traffic fatalities in the city of Los Angeles."
Yeah.
And saying, not only is that doable, every traffic fatality is preventable and we're going to prevent that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of energy and momentum behind this cause. It's recently fallen completely off the radar.
And since that announcement, traffic fatalities have gone
way
up substantially,
which makes it from a political standpoint, mm-hmm. from a politician's yeah. viewpoint, a lot harder to bring up and say, we are still behind this program that yeah. is not working. If it's not working, press are going to start asking you hard questions like, is it because of you?
Right.
Which doesn't mean you should just stop bringing it up, but that has been basically the result. Fighting for funding in city council has been hard,
mm-hmm.
But I think Safe Streets advocates are really getting pissed off that
yeah.
it's just falling.
Because I'm actually not sure the traffic fatalities have gone up overall, but pedestrian and cyclist deaths have definitely gone up. I think
they've almost doubled.
So the next day, after the State of the City, Garcetti announced his budget for next year, and he sort of opened the discussion. I think he was a little just a little frustrated that people had pointed out that he didn't mention Vision Zero in his State of the City. So he just opened with, "Hey guys, just so everyone knows, we are going to be tripling the budget for Vision Zero for next year." And everyone was like, "Wow, that's like..." You got a lot of positive press for
that's
that.
Like a major move. Yeah.
Huge.
So going
that
up
would
to,
bring it. That would it would exceed. It would go up to 91 million. You were going to say yes.
Yes. That is what he was saying. We're going to take it from 27 million up to 91 million. Just kind of. I don't know if he really acknowledged like the fact that a bunch of people had just been roasting him online for not mentioning
this. I don't think he said the reason I'm doing this is
I am getting completely pilloried
yes,
right now.
No, people are mad at me.
No, so he didn't bring that up. But what he did do was say, but this was kind of just a way of saying, yes, I'm listening, and this is not something that's totally not on my radar.
Yeah.
So then, though, the issue with that is that a couple days later, he came yeah. out and said, that was actually a misstatement. That's
I
not
misspoke.
The right number.
We will not be doing that. We will not be tripling the Vision Zero budget. We will be adding to it. I think that what they're actually doing is adding $10 million to it, which if he had just announced that, we're going from $27 million to $37 million, I think people would have been like, okay, that's something. At least something. It's an increase. It's right. not the $80 million that was requested by the Department of Transportation in the first place. But still, it's something. It does not look good to announce that you're tripling it, get all that positive press, and then say, oh, actually, no, we're raising it by like 40% or whatever it is.
It doesn't look good, assuming that you ever find out that that wasn't true, right? I don't know. This isn't a space, like the LA city budget is not a particularly watched space.
Yeah.
So for me, I was still seeing local news reports that were citing the incorrect $91 million yeah. figure from after Garcetti had rolled yeah. that back.
And you have to speculate, was it a misstatement? Did they actually think they were going to increase the funding and then get pushback from all the homeowners in the city who hate Vision Zero? It is an incredibly unpopular program for anyone who drives a car, basically.
Right.
Because it would slow down, the whole idea behind it is that it would slow down traffic.
Yeah. So you're basically starting from a standpoint where you're saying that one of the most dangerous things in cases where there are actually collisions between cars and literally anything else, another car, a pedestrian, a bike, is the speed of the vehicle involved.
Yeah.
That there's something like if you're going 20 miles an hour and you hit a pedestrian, the pedestrian is like 80% likely to survive the accident.
Yep.
But if you are going 40 miles an hour, it goes down to 20%.
That seems like the function of Vision Zero so far. The only thing that they've really managed to do is get that statistic out there.
It's a good stat.
And it is a good stat.
And so, yes. So then the program, though, does become known for being the Slow Down Cars program, which
right.
is, as you said, not particularly popular with the millions of people in LA who yes. drive everywhere.
Yeah. And all the comments on like the Curbed article and stuff about tripling the Vision Zero budget where people saying, no, do not do this. I will kill any pedestrian or cyclist that comes in my way, no matter what you do. Basically, like a lot of them said, like this program is a waste of money. Basically, like saying, like, I'm still going to do whatever I want.
Even think Curbed writers read the comment section there. I don't know what you're doing.
I go straight to it. So we wanted to talk to someone who is kind of on the ground for all of this stuff. We talked to Kevin Munoz, who was a very good friend of Woon Fraser's. Woon, the first cyclist to die in a hit and run this week, was a huge part of the cyclist community in South LA. They go for rides. Like basically every night of the week, there is some kind of like mass ride going on in the different neighborhoods.
Right.
Kevin is a big part of it and was a close friend of Woon. And he has set up the campaign for Woon Fraser's mother to pay for his funeral expenses. So we just wanted to talk to him about what it's like riding in LA now, what it was like the day that Woon died, and some of the changes that he's seen or not seen in the city since these different programs have been enacted in the last few years to make the streets safer for cyclists. The sound is a little different than it normally is because we were recording it in a kind of a weird warehouse building
in the downtown. Field, I think is what
we were in the field. Yeah. Yes. And I, just to give us a little bit of leeway. And by saying this, it makes it sound like it's going to be really bad when it really is actually only a little bit bad.
It's better than normal.
It's better than normal. And he was amazing. So yes, let's listen to our conversation with Kevin Munoz. You met Woon through bike yeah, stuff like, in the first place?
Yeah, I met him through like Facebook, like almost 5-7 years ago through Facebook, like in the bike selling pages. At that time, I think I had made like 2 selling pages.
You made a page
yeah.
to like advertise that you like sell bike parts.
Well, it's a yeah. a group page where anybody could join.
Okay.
And like just post their bike stuff like for mm-hmm. sale, trade, or mm-hmm. anything. Or like saying that's a ride or race, like you could just join in,
yeah.
make an event.
Yeah.
So
when was it? You were like a teen, like an early teenager, right?
Yeah,
when you
like
started doing this, because you're only 22 now.
Yeah, I was like around 12 or 13 when I got into cycling.
Yeah.
Like each time, like when I was like that young, I used to come like to downtown to go shopping with my parents. I used to see cyclists, and I'm like, that looks like really fun. Just like. Like able to go anywhere you want, like anytime, mm-hmm. just like place from A to B.
And now you ride basically. Yeah. You came here. We're downtown. You came from South LA. It's like a half hour ride. Are there like any lanes in that?
From
there to here?
From the destination I take to get here, no. There's no bike lanes at all.
No.
I just like, the only precaution that I have is just like keep looking back. Like seeing,
sure.
Like,
right.
To space myself away from cars.
Yeah.
I don't bike, but I run, and it's the same thing where it's like, if I want to go for a run in my neighborhood, I'm constantly looking over my shoulder because I'm terrified of like somebody's going to right turn in front of me or whatever.
Yeah, that's the fear of everybody right now. Like most right now, like after all this, like it doesn't even feel like safe, or like you always gotta have like something in mind, like damn, there might be someone behind me, like something could happen like any moment. So it's like, it doesn't even feel like right to ride a bike right now at all.
Because what happened to Woon, this was the middle of the day.
Middle of the day.
It wasn't even a turn or anything. He was in the far right-hand lane. Is that like the gutter lane? Is that?
Yeah, like, well, that's our space.
Yeah.
That's our space that I know, that everybody knows that's supposed to be taking, like, you're supposed to have, like, I think, like, 3 feet of space between cars on there. But we always have to be on the right side.
Yeah.
And that day, when that happened, we were supposed to go riding. Like, we were meeting up.
Okay.
He was going to, from his house, he was going to meet up with two other friends. And I was going to link up, like, midway. Then, we were still talking on a group chat. Like, a group chat, like, all our friends. And he was, like, I think it was, like, around 12. Like, he was saying, oh, like, we were choosing where to go eat. And after that, like, he just stopped responding. And I'm like, well, I guess he just, like, didn't want to go anymore. He just stayed home. Then my other friends, like, they kept, they're like, all right, then we're just going to go ride. I'll see if we catch up later. Until, like, time kept going through. I got the message, around 7:20 p.m. that one of our friends told me that he had passed away, like, him and another friend. Then I just, like, I didn't believe him. I think he was just, like, playing around to, like, to get his attention to respond. And I messaged Woon on his Facebook, and it just, he said he was online, offline. So I don't know. So I kind of like started getting worried, like I don't want to believe it happened or anything. And as soon as on the group chat, they sent me a link with like graphic images, like him on the ground, like you can see his blood and everything on the ground. Like I just instantly went into shock, like my heart sunk, and I was just like frozen for a while. I was just like, I couldn't even believe it at all. Then I wanted to go tell my dad at the moment, and as I was going upstairs to go tell him, I couldn't hold it back, and I just started like, tearing up. So I just like started going back down to my room. Then my dad, they kind of like what was wrong, and I don't know how, cause when I cry, like my throat, or like I'm unable to speak as much. Then I tell him, and he just went in shock as well. Like he couldn't believe it. Like it was actually him who got struck. Then I remember going to his house once. But it was like a long time ago, and I didn't know if he still lived there. But as soon as I just saw my dad take me, and so like I said, as soon as I saw like candles lit outside, like outside of his house, I'm pretty sure this is it. And I just, like I said, I just started crying. I couldn't hold back my tears. And then his mom, I think she sees me, like, yeah, she's coming out of her house. She sees me like, you're Kevin, right? Like. And me like tearing up, and then when she said that, I just nod my head like up and down like saying yes. And she just comes and hugs me and like gives me a big hug. Like she's like, I know who you are. Like I know you never met me, but I know who you are.
Yeah.
Like Fred, he well described you. Like what were you to him? Like how much he meant to you, and how much you meant to him. And I just kept crying. I couldn't even speak at that time. Like she was telling me what was gonna happen that day. Like he spoke to her like, oh, I'm gonna go ride, and I'm gonna head with my friend Kevin and some other guys like Moses, not Cottrell, but another group of friends. We were just gonna meet up, and she knew. And I think at that time, she still wasn't trying to process. She thought it was just like it wasn't even real. Like it was just like a joke or something. But as soon as she felt what I was feeling, she just started crying. It was just that same day I was calling friends like, just come by, and because I want his mother to know that he had friends, and the few friends like overnight just came coming one by one, two and two, and so on. Yeah.
What is the how do you respond in the cycling community when these terrible things happen? This has obviously been an awful week, very tragic for you personally. Like, how do you recover from that?
Well, what we like usually do, like during like hard times, even like when friends passing or like having family problems, anything that has to do related, we just get on our bikes and just ride. That's what usually helps us, just to clear our minds and spend good time with friends that also are cyclists, and just get together, and that helps us like most of the time, just to clear our heads and like get back into in a happy place. But
can you, at this point, like, what would it take for you to feel safe out on the streets with that, like everything that's going on?
I don't know, because it's like from what you have heard in the past few days, like bike lanes is what mostly is needed around everywhere in Los Angeles, because that's one, like maybe in South Central, there's from what I know, there's two or three bike lanes in big streets. In little streets, I'm sure there's like a few of them, but not enough.
And those are not protected or anything.
Oh no, the streets they're rough. They're in way super bad condition.
And they run right next to the parking lane. So you can get doored in those.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I think the safest, but the worst condition one is on Vermont.
Okay.
The one in Vermont, that one's starts from Gage, mm-hmm. and Vermont goes straight down all the way, I think, to Imperial. But the conditions of the streets are just worse. It's broken roads and everything, and it's just it's not, it's they don't even care. They have fixed the roads for the cars, but on the back ends, they're the same thing.
Oh, they'll go through and fix just where the cars drive, and they'll just leave the bike lane.
They think nobody uses them at all.
Yeah.
But
there's a total mentality of pedestrians and bikes are just invisible to the city. I used to ride on the Venice Boulevard bike lane, and it would be I would be riding home. You've got cars going 50 miles an hour right next to you.
Oh yeah, exactly. Because it's like that, because literally you could be in the bike lane, but there's cars they overpass their limit, so they still get on the bike lane, and just they get super close to you, and as soon as you feel the wind going through you, it just
feel vulnerable.
Yeah, you get the chills and you're scared I could have got hurt or something.
Yeah,
there's nothing you could do about it because they're 50 feet away at the time that you're trying to say something.
Have you been hit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily there was it was just one car.
Okay.
It was right down Manchester and Broadway. But luckily there was no cars in the back or nothing. I got scratched up and everything, beaten. But luckily there was no cars behind me at all.
Did the car stop?
No, it just kept going.
Yeah.
So Kevin, I think that brings up a really good point about where's the enforcement? I mean, watching the video of what happened to Quatrell at the vigil is crazy, because there are so many cops right there, and how do you get away with a hit and run, actually violently harming somebody like that with all of those cops right there, and they did nothing?
I don't know. It was just crazy, because at the moment when that happened, there was a literally cop car the one who was just right there, next when the incident happened.
You can see in the video.
Yeah,
it's right next to him.
You can see him. He's just right there, just parked, looking at everything happening.
Right.
He didn't even try to chase the car or do anything. He just stayed there.
And there's 30 of you that run up to.
Yeah. After that happened, I was right next to Cottrell, with one of my friends, keeping him in. I don't know. He was just like in the seizure. I don't know what it was, but he was just like trying to close his eyes, and I was just like, they had the cops had me to step away from him, but I was like literally like in like running from him, like keeping an eye on him until the ambulance came. After that happened, we were like a group of his friends was trying to group up, and as soon as they told us what hospital he was at, mm-hmm. we just all rode all the way over there. From over there, I was trying to keep everybody like in one lane, trying to keep them like telling me don't take red lights, don't do anything that could cause another accident at this time, because mm-hmm. everybody was just had the fear of adrenaline at the moment. It's just they just like they were angry, so they were just like trying to take streets and everything. And I was just trying to keep them all together.
Have you noticed? So the city is announced that they're doing all this stuff with like Vision Zero. They're spending all this money to like stop pedestrians and cyclists from getting killed. Have you noticed any change?
Nope. I haven't, from my perspective, I haven't seen them do anything.
Okay. You haven't felt any differently on the roads like the last few, better or worse? Has it gotten worse?
From the beginning of the year, like people getting struck by cars, like hit and runs, I literally haven't seen like any bike lanes, anything that helps us like have a better path mm-hmm. to get from A to B in different destinations.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I haven't seen any progress on anything.
But nobody is like riding less either.
Oh, right? No.
Yeah. This is what you're going to do this.
Because remember, they were trying to encourage us to like get on our bikes more than driving our cars mm-hmm. to have like a better ecosystem
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles. So that encouraged a lot of people. So I don't know why encourage people if you're not even going to keep them safe on a bike when it's like safer in the car.
And you talk about like the environmental benefits. Woon was also doing it for like health reasons, right?
Yeah, he had like type 1 diabetes.
Okay.
And the way like he was able like to care for himself is just like riding bikes, keep himself at like in a diet, like mm-hmm. just riding for him was like it was his medicine.
Yeah.
Like a way to help him out through everything.
Do you feel like you have, because, you know, people get killed on bikes in the city, like, a lot. Do you feel like this is different at all, how people are responding to it, that you guys have an opportunity maybe to, like, get something to change here?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're trying to do right now. Like, the organizer, Chief Lunas, he's trying to mm-hmm. make an organization.
Eden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eden Lunas is trying to like grab people's attention, mm-hmm. make a well-organized organization, and so we can have like keep forcing the governor of Los Angeles and all Los Angeles like to pay attention. Like we have to make like the streets safer for everybody. Like it's illegal for us to run on the sidewalk. They don't want us to be on the sidewalk, so the streets is the only pathway, and They had made a rule, like, I think, I don't know what was the space that we have between cars, but even that, most of the people don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know what was the rule for us, our space, our rules for us.
Do you feel like the best way you can push back on that is to just keep riding, like, make them, like...
Yeah, just, like, I don't know, just to, like, keep forcing them to like hear us out, like pay attention like to us, like I said, like we're like I don't know how to say it, but like we need our space. We need our space for every cyclist, because it's not safe at all. There's like many projects that they have announced, like making bike paths from. The one I was more excited about is the one they have on Slauson, where the mm-hmm. old train track used to be. That was what's gonna connect from Elliott River, like in Sea of Vernon, all the way down, I think, close to LAX. But I haven't heard about that one. There's just like there's many bike paths that they said we're gonna make, like for like people not to be on streets and able to ride like to the beach and stuff like that. But I don't know. I haven't heard anything from it, like any updates at all. The thing is that during this little spam from when Frederick was killed, like we've been hearing all these stuff, but we don't like take in consideration what has happened before that. What mm-hmm. like literally happening around us, just nobody speaks up about it. There's like nobody like say something like you were saying earlier, all the people that have been killed by hit and runs in that little span like of a week.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause like I said, it's scary for me. Like sometimes I just like I'm gonna just take the bus.
Thank you for listening. We want to just plug the GoFundMes one more time. The first one for Wound Frazier. If you just Google Wound Frazier GoFundMe, F-R-A-Z-I-E-R, and the name of that GoFundMe is Funding for a Fallen Friend Wound. You can also just Google that. There's another GoFundMe for Cottrell Stallings. It's called Help Cottrell Stallings. And his name is spelled Q-U-A-T-R-E-L-L, last name S-T-A-L-L-I-N-G-S. We will be back next week to talk about the city.